You're a fly named Yar on a quest in space. You attack the shield of the Kotile face. But watch out, Yar.
He knows where you are. Yar's revenge is
you on Atari.
Have you played Atari today?
With ion zones and evil drones, there's nothing else like Yar's revenge. The way out space game that's new from Atari. Who else?
Have you played Atari today?
Hey, this is Rain, and you're listening to Blow On This Radio. I'd like to shout out to DJ Molluskin R Ecstasy.
Welcome to Blow On This Radio, Episode 2. I am one of your hosts, DJ Mollusk.
And I'm your other host, R Ecstasy.
And this is the second time we've had to record this show today, so the number of the day is definitely 2. And the letters of the day are DMX, but we'll explain that in a little bit. Let me explain what happened with the show this morning. Anyway, we tried to record it. And I discovered that the speakerphone I had, the cheap speakerphone, must have been only like half duplex, because when I was talking, I couldn't hear RXC in the background as he was talking. So, in other words, we couldn't talk at the same time and had to record both of us, which sucked. And also, at the time, the person who lives next door to me had their music playing really loud, so that was being recorded. So we had some unintentional background music. It was just this mindless, like 3-6 Mafia, Project Pat stuff that, you know, I guess, you know, it's okay if you're in the car or whatever, but if you're just blaring it just to blare it, like in your room, it just kind of gets on my nerves. And that takes us into the whole DMX thing, and RTC has quite the funny story regarding that.
Yeah, I believe it was about January of 2002, it was about a year and a half ago, I think. I was over Christmas break, and I was home from college for like the month or so, just kind of sitting around the computer working on whatever I was working on, and my sister was doing her exercises in the basement, and she's like, there's like a treadmill or something down there, and the treadmill is one of those electric things that makes an ungodly amount of noise when it's turned on and when it's going, but anyway, of course, because it makes so much noise, and she has to have her music with her when she exercises, she has to have it, you know, cranked up all the way so you can basically hear it like 2 floors up. So she can hear it, like, right there, all that noise going on. So anyway, the DMX song, Party Up, which is more commonly known as Up In Here, was the song du jour, and the song of the day for those of you not in France. But anyway, that particular song, when played at a high volume, tends to be quite, it's repetitive in a way, but it's, I don't know, I'm not much into that whole East Side rap stuff, but for its own intents and purposes, that is a pretty good one. I do like that song, and it's one of my favorites of that genre, so I'm okay with that song. At that point in time, I hadn't really heard that much of it, though, so it was just, you know, one of those songs that's in the background, and it was there, and I was doing my thing, and that was that. But my dad was watching NASCAR or some damn thing in the living room, which is located right above the basement area. And he was not being able to pay attention quite, you know, as much as he wanted to. So he said he was going to go down there and ever have turned down to music. Of course, but he does, again, he does it the easy way first. He just, he opens the door, the basement, yells down, turn it off, turn the amping on, or turn it down, whatever. Of course, my sister, knowing, you know, that she can get away with a little bit more with him than I ever could dream of, she just thinks, okay, Daddy, and, you know, doesn't do a damn thing, figuring he'll forget about it and go away, and she'll get to do whatever she wants. But this time, that didn't quite work out in that respect, because he just stood there and waited, anticipating that she wouldn't do anything, and when she didn't do anything, he went down there and turned it down himself. And he comes back up there. I don't know where my mom was this time. She wasn't around, but he comes up, takes one look at me, and then starts going into this sort of de facto DMX impersonation of the song. He just sits there and goes, remember, fucking you, stop here. That was a lot funnier in person, but in retrospect, it can be quite funny when I get to act out in person. That said, I do believe we have the technology problems figured out. I know my end of the line was kind of screwing up because we had an ungodly amount of static on here for the last year and a half, my phone system here. Finally this morning, I just, at the top of my head, I tried plugging in a phone in my room, and the phone jack in the wall hadn't been used in like 2 years, and that cleared it up somehow. It just, the static just automatically died. It wasn't the bottom jack. I tried that one first, nothing happened. Top jack, perfect. So, I don't know what the deal is. I guess my phone jack is the master one of the house, but...
That's weird. So what have you been up to since the last episode?
The last episode, well, school started in August, I guess, and that kind of blows.
Yeah.
But not on this. And I guess recently I've been really getting into, you know, the stuff, preparation for week five. We're kind of in that weekend before week five thing now, where week five is like some sort of a universal college rule that like all exams have to fall in week five of the semester. Like every single class or something like that. It's quite the pain in the neck.
Yeah, I had three exams this last week, and I have two next week, so.
Yeah, I got a big exam Monday, kind of a mild one on Wednesday, and Lord knows what else in lab on Wednesday, and then a presentation on a Friday that I'm kind of looking forward to. But
yeah, so I'm gonna be looking forward to episode three next Saturday.
Oh, absolutely. Sure. Next weekend's going to be beautiful. It's going to get me through the week itself.
So you get a chance to play any video games over break? Or
yeah,
since the last show?
Well, one of the projects I've been working on, and this is one of the wonderful things about technology nowadays, that you can have so many different projects going on at once, you don't know where the hell to start. But one of my side projects now is a hack of Mario 3, and this will kind of, we'll get into this later in the show, ROM hacking and whatnot. And basically I'm kind of doing my own ROM hack. It's kind of a parody of sorts, but it's more of a parody in a way. I'm not going to get too much into that now, but it's basically going through Mario 3 and just kind of looking at all the levels and the way they're arranged and all the enemies and just kind of seeing how everything gets fits together. And I'm appreciating the size and scope of that game because for 1990, it's, you know, way ahead of its time. It's quite something.
Yeah, I remember when it came out, it didn't even look like other NES games at the time.
Oh, yeah, it was just amazing. I remember that game was the first one I got with my Nintendo Entertainment System back in November of 90. Remember that one, Mario 1, I just kept going back and forth. And it was like, old school, new school, old school, old school.
Yeah, it's hard to believe they're for the same system, you know?
Yeah.
When you look at them both side by side. Well, I have been playing a little bit of games since the last episode, especially yesterday. I live in the dorms, and some people from my dorm got together and they checked out an LCD projector from the university's technology office place. So we had an LCD projector for our floor that we were playing video games on. So we were playing Mario Kart 64 on an 8-foot by 6-foot screen yesterday. That was a lot of fun. And when you're playing it in 4-player mode, your little, you know, quarter of the screen is probably at least like a 30-inch TV. Well, I'm not gonna claim some numbers because I don't want to do the math right now, but it's pretty big. It's bigger than any TV that we had on the on my floor. So it was a lot of fun. We had somebody brought in their receiver and their speakers in there, so we had it in surround sound. We did that for a couple hours till I got tired of it. But people played it, you know, like pretty early in the morning, being pretty loud with it. But I don't mind. Well, at the beginning of the show, as far as the intro goes, you heard a commercial for Yar's Revenge for the Atari 2600. And I thought that was pretty old school, so I decided to put that on there. And I actually found that on a website that has a bunch of old video game commercials on it. I'm going to have that the URL for that on the Blow On This website. And the Blow On This website is going to be at botr.ramapro.com. That's R-A-M-A-P-R-O, or Ramapro. The site hasn't been created yet, but it's going to be there pretty soon. So I'll probably just put up like a basic page that, you know, has the links for today's show on there. But anyway, this site that had all these old commercials was pretty cool. I set the link to RxSC and we went through them all, and it was amazing some of the ones that you actually remember, you know, almost even word for word.
Oh yeah, those McDonald's commercials from the early 90s with the Mario 3 toys in them.
I think I still have some of those Mario 3, Happy Meal toys from back in the day.
Goomba construction cups.
Yeah, I have the Goomba.
I got like a million of those.
Those are actually pretty cool. I wish I...
bathtub toys from back in the day.
Yeah.
Screw rubber ducky come on my Goomba.
Yeah, my Goomba. Oh, that site's pretty cool, so you can go check that out and download some old school video game commercials.
Speaking of websites, we've got some other stuff coming up real quick with iMockery.com. It's a show, it's a website that kind of reviews ROM hacks. And ROM hack is basically just an old Nintendo game that someone went to the code and kind of redid some of the pictures and the text and, you know, some of the enemies and kind of made it, you know, long story short, they basically take it and put a bunch of Nazi symbols and penises in, you know, Mario 1. That's essentially what a ROM hack is nowadays. But they take some of the more blatant ones and kind of turn around on the creators and kind of, you know, throw it back in their face and make a big, you know, joke out of it. But they're very sardonic. It's a very, very humorous site. I might as well give out the URL for that now. It's www.i-mockery.com/ROMHacks, ROMHACKS. And there's about roughly dozen or maybe one or two dozen reviews on there right now. There's like 8 new ones up there just recently in the last couple weeks. Some of the classic ones, if you really want. I mean, I was looking at these earlier. I think I've read pretty much all of them, and I reread them now, and I still come close to tears just out of pure. It's just they're hilarious the way they put all the pictures up there and have these little snide comments and sidebars. But it's some of the better ones are Ernie and the Muppets, Sesame Street, Take It All Off, or something like that. There's some really, really bizarre things out there. There's the Mega Man series, or Super KKK Brothers, which is just unbelievably, you know, poor taste. But it's funny the way, like I said, the way they throw it back at the creators and kind of give them their own back to them.
Yeah, and one of my favorite ones is Teenage Mammal Nice Chipmunks 2. That one's pretty funny. And I like how they poke fun at mistakes in the ROM hack. You know, like they didn't edit all the sprites.
Yeah, or they... they added like the text to a 4-letter word MAME or something like that, some company name, and they instead of changing the text in the actual text block, the hexadecimal or whatever they do that, they change the actual pictures so that, you know, every time you have that same any of the same letters in that 4-letter word appear later in the game, they've been changed to their counterparts, so you get like one word that's changed and like the rest is all like bumble jumble.
Yeah. Yeah, and some of the games actually have, if you try to hex edit them, you can see the actual text. But some of them actually use, you know, graphics for all the font, you know, font, whatever. So
I think there's the right way to do it, and there's every other way to do it. People that are intent on just, you know, turning Mario's head into a penis or a swastika, they're going to probably do it, you know, the least amount of effort necessary to bring across their desired creation. But it's funny in its own right. I mean, you can sit there and laugh at the people that, you know, you can laugh at the thing in an attempt to laugh at the people that, you know, actually made it and think that this is actually such a great, you know, wonderful thing they did. How pathetic your lives must be, but... So, it's universal now,
yeah.
There's something for everyone.
Let's save some of this more, this ROM hacking stuff for later.
Yeah.
And let's go into the video game trivia question for this episode.
All right, I probably should have thought of this question about a month ago, actually, for the first show, because... the scope of this one is pretty, you know, it's definitely one of the top trivia questions that anyone should be aware of. I'm just going to get into it. The trivia question for this week, or this episode, will be regards to Nintendo's mascot, Mario. Now, everyone knows who Mario is. Everyone's seen him. Everyone's probably played his games. I mean, if you can reduce the entire history of video gaming into one person or one character or one word, it would probably be Mario. And the trivia question is just simply, what is Mario's last name?
Yeah, it's kind of hard.
He has a last name. It has been legitimized and vouched for by Nintendo of America. And what is it? That's just the question. Simple, straight up.
I don't think I've ever heard it. I'm looking forward to hearing the answer to that one. Well, another thing that I want to touch on is the amount of feedback that we got for the first episode. We got a lot of good feedback. We didn't get anything negative, really. We got some people saying that they wished it was longer. I guess you could take that as a negative one. I mean, it was already about an hour long. I did have a little bit more music in there than I probably normally would have. But people still thought it should be longer. But I think I'm probably going to keep it around the hour, because that's about what I feel like doing. You know, I don't really want to do it for too long, because people might get sick of listening to it if it lasts like an hour and a half or 2 hours. But a little bit over is okay. We got a lot of people asking for the return of the sex-starved Radio Shack guy. People thought that was just hilarious.
People actually want to hear from that guy again? Damn. Usually when I see that guy on the street, I turn and sprint in the opposite direction, but...
Well, I did get in contact with him, and he does have another top 10 list for this episode.
Oh, God.
So, well,
we can certainly look forward to that, I guess.
Well, actually, that's coming up next, so what I'm going to have to do is kick you off the line, and then we're going to get him on the line.
All right.
And he can do his top 10 list. I think he said it was something regarding erotic thrillers for Nintendo systems or something, so... Which I can't think of any. Can you think of any? Erotic thriller.
I don't think I want to think of any. I think I'm going to go take a shower right now, but you mentioning that to me, so I'll do that while you talk to that freak.
Okay, well, I'll give you a call back once this interview or his top 10 listing is over with.
All right, don't tell me how it went.
You can hear it when you download the show. And we're back with the sex-starved Radio Shack guy, and he's going to do his top 10 list.
Yes, I am. I'm here. I've got my list right ready with me. I've been working on this all week in preparation for the second episode. And this week's list is the top 10 homoerotic thrillers of all time. Anyway, just to get started here, the number 10 erotic game of all time is Donkey Kong Country 2. Super Nintendo Entertainment System. Donkey Kong Country 2 stars these two teenage monkeys that are just, like, revving up with hormones, and they kind of like run around the jungle and like throw barrels at each other and like stomp on reptiles and, you know, get in the barrels with each other. You know what's going to happen then. And I think like part of the game has this thing called Funky Slides where you're like, they join the Mile High Club or something. I'm not sure about that. But anyway, so looking for some good simian reptilian action. That's a good game to check out. That's number 10. Number 9 would be Double Dragon 2. And this one is for the regular Nintendo. This came out about like 20 years ago, probably. And I think the purpose of the game is basically to walk around the street and beat up on these pink prostitutes with like really like rowdy mohawks come out at you with these like spiked chain balls or something, I don't know. But just the very spiked chain balls gets me excited, so I'm an easy target for them. But anyway, you beat them up and then like you win, you get to like, you know, hey. But you gotta do it quick because they like blink and like vanish on the ground, and then this like guy with the mask comes out and like picks you by the head and like punches you in the nuts 3 times. And that's kind of a turn off, if you ask me. I don't know what those programmers were thinking when they did that, but anyway, you know, probably a bunch of teases. But anyway, moving right along.
But how are those last two erotic thrillers?
Well, because, you know, you got like the monkeys and like, you know, they're in the jungle, right? You know, monkeys in the jungle? Come on now, did I draw you a damn picture? Actually, I did draw a picture one time of Dick and John. It's in my locker radio shack. If you want, I can bring it over next time.
No, I don't want to see that.
Oh. Okay. Well, anyways, number 8. Now, this one's kind of counterintuitive, but it's a foreign game. And most foreign games, to be honest, aren't that good, because I don't speak foreign. But Tetris is actually pretty good. You know, it's from Russia, because in Russia they don't have much to do except for like wrestle bears and drink vodka and like wrestle more bears. And like they have this game with a bunch of squares though. But see, like if you look beyond the obvious, it's like a subterfuge where it's like the blocks represent genitalia, right? And the purpose of the game, I figured, is to make a vagina out of blocks, and then this big long phallic block comes out, and you have to put that in the vagina, and then like you get like the screen flashes and all these little sirens go off and bells whistle and horns honk and the TV just has one big orgasm. Like, then you go Tetris. That's pretty cool.
Hope you didn't offend any Russian listeners with that.
I hope so too. They can kick my ass. I hope they don't work at Target. Those sons of bitches are always trying to like steal my lunch and stuff. But anyways, the other thing about Tetris is that like the blocks themselves, I mean, like the one that's like, you know, like I said, the 4-block long one, that's obviously, you know, like the master penis of them all. But the square one, I think, is supposed to be a breast, and the L shape is like, you know, like a package, you know, little nuts on the side. Now the zigzag one, I can't quite make out what that's supposed to be. I think that's like one of those penile implant surgeries that went horribly wrong, and you know, the end result is a weird zigzag looking thing. I don't know.
Okay, this is kind of getting ridiculous. I need you to go ahead and just, like, you know, wrap it up.
I'll skip ahead to number 2. How about that?
Okay.
Okay, number 2 is Kirby's Dream Land. Now, there's different versions of this game, but all of them embrace this little white breast who runs around these magical dream worlds and, like, gets in all sorts of mischief and all sorts of adventures. And then when you beat a level, though, I think in most of the versions, like, the little white breast does a little dance. And, you know, a little dancing white breast. I mean, you can't get much better than that. I mean, come on. Now,
you're digging down pretty deep now.
What now?
You're digging down pretty deep to get these now.
No kidding. In any case, we've reached the number 1 point. The number 1 erotic thriller of all time is Mario Paint, Super Nintendo Entertainment System. Now, what other game out there lets you write, direct, and animate your own porno movies? I mean, come on. And not only that, you can go into this one part and, like, do the soundtrack, too. So it's like, and, like, you can, like, make your own pornos, and you can, like, record it if you have a VCR, and you know how to hook that up. You know, you know that kind of stuff working at Radio Shack. You get that kind of stuff that just kind of, like, seeps into your brain, you know? You figure that stuff out pretty quick, and then you can, like, record your favorite ones and, like, play them back later, and then, like, try to mix them more, and it's, like, this perpetual, like ring of porn. Yeah.
Mario Paint porno.
Yeah. Pretty good.
Okay, now I've
heard of it. I've got some videos at home I can bring them next time.
The best of
my Mario Paint porn collection. I bring that and my picture of Dixie Kong.
That reminds me, one time I was working at a video rental place, and we actually did get somebody's Mario Paint porno tape accidentally returned to us instead of the actual movie. And they came and got it. We asked them that, you know, what they were trying to animate, and yep, they were kind of embarrassed and they left with their tape. Is that you?
What was the video of?
It was Mario Paint Pornography.
Well, I mean, what was the title of it? All my titles like Pixel Pumper, or, you know, 8-Bit Glory, or, you know. Do you remember the title?
No.
That really helped me out.
I don't remember the title.
Because I've got this all cross-indexed and at Radio Shack on my personal computer, but anyways.
Okay.
So I'm going to go back and, like, read, like, other parts of my list that you, like, jumped over.
No, that's okay. Unless you think that there actually are, good ones to mention on the show. All of the ones you mentioned so far, except the Mario Paint one, haven't really been that funny.
Okay.
So, you're not coming back for the next show, are you?
I'd like to. Hope I can get some time off from Radio Shack, though.
Well, we'll see. But I think I'm going to have to let you go now, so thanks for joining us on episode 2 with your new top 10 list.
No problem.
And all the listeners really enjoy hearing you. I don't understand why, but they do. So you have a lot of fans out there.
Yeah.
So you're becoming an internet celebrity. Anyway, maybe we'll see you on a future episode. Have a good one.
You too.
Mario! Mario!
Mario. 1, 2, and 3. There's power in numbers. Nintendo, now you're playing with power. Each game sold separately.
Okay, you just missed one of the funniest top tens that, well, I don't know if you want to call it funny, but pathetic top tens I've heard for a while.
I can only imagine.
He was, it was top 10 erotic thrillers of all time.
Video games?
Yeah, video games. He didn't say video games, but that's all I mentioned, so. And, oh, I'll just leave it at that. And his number one was just funny as hell. So you'll have to download the show and check that out.
Yeah, I'll do that in one of my weaker moments.
Okay, well, next we're going to go into that ROM hacking stuff a little bit more. You up for that?
Absolutely.
Okay, anyway, for the ROM hacking, the first thing you need is some ROM hacking tools. The most important tool, I think, is probably your hex editor. Basically, you would just open up your ROM in a hex editor, just go through it, and you can find a lot of text that's just edible. You can edit a lot of text in there. But you got to be careful when you're editing your text. Because if you say there's the word, love, for instance, or something. Some games use the word love. If you'd have to change it to some other four-letter word. If you change it to something bigger, you can corrupt the ROM file, or it won't basically start the ROM. I don't know.
The very best you can hope for is that it'll show up in the game, but it'll look really, really, really weird.
Usually, if you have a sentence, you can pretty much put whatever you want in that sentence as long as it's the same number of characters.
Equal or less, basically.
Yeah. And, I think it has to do with this, like, a header on the ROM file that basically tells it, what size it's supposed to be and stuff like that. And if you increase the size here, you mess it up. I know there are some ROM utilities that let you basically change whatever you want, make it as big as you need, and it'll still work. But I haven't had much luck with those. So if you're going to get started in ROM hacking, you kind of always want to, stay within those bounds of those limits of, editing a word and either replacing it with one that's the same length or shorter. And a good place to get your ROM tools is at romhacking.com. They have a lot of tools on there. Basically, the types of tools that you would have are like your hex editors. They have quite a few on there that you can use. Some of them are made just for ROM hacking. They have some features in there just for that. Another thing that you need is graphics editors or sprite editors. It lets you change some of the characters in the game if you ever need to. Not all of them work very well. I've had a couple that, work pretty well. Most of it is just I think it's because the graphics information in the game is compressed. So when you're using the graphics viewer tool, you really kind of have to look for the other part of that sprite you're editing. Like, they'll be split into two or three, and then you gotta kind of edit them, you know, in individual parts, and hopefully it looks good as it's combined in the end. And if you go to the iMockery ROM hacking site that we talked about earlier, you'll see some people who tried doing it and it didn't turn out very well. Like in that Teenage Mammal Nice Chipmunks 2 game that someone made, they actually left Donatello in the game, probably because there wasn't a chipmunk that wears a purple shirt, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
And, but I guess in various parts of the game, Donatello's head turns into a chipmunk head as if they were trying to do it, but then said screw it. But then they forgot to change it back or something. I thought that was kind of funny. There's also other tools for editing music. I don't know if there's any on that site, but there are some out there. That's usually a little bit harder. I know for some of the NES games, you can convert MIDI files and then you put them in the game. So you might want to try that with your Mario Brothers hack. You could put in some music into that.
Yeah, definitely. What I'm going to do first, though, is just get all the enemies and the some of the power-ups changed. I'm going to rearrange some of the overworlds, too, a little bit before I get into anything like, you know, changing the music, changing the levels themselves. So I'll do a little bit of everything, I think, because I want to make it a good hack, you know, good, you know, quality you can go through, and there's something new, you know, no matter where you go or what you do, but it's going to be kind of a good hack, but it's also going to be sort of a parody of sorts with, you know, I'm going to put, you know, if I can find a place to put a penis, that's worth, there's going to be a penis, or, you know, swastika, or, you know, kill Whitey, or, you know, whatever, you know, all that cliche junk, and you'll get enough of that when you go to the iMockery.com hack ROM reviews, but it's just, it's sort of kind of a be-all, end-all to kind of, okay, let's get all that stuff we can in one spot and use it all now so we can get onto something else and get something else out there, you know, instead of just, you know, Super Penis Brothers 3. I mean, it's, you know, come on, that was funny for, you know, a while, but, you know, there's only so much of that you can do, really.
Yeah. Are you going to submit yours to iMockery when it's done?
I hope so. I'm going for an iMockery.com review. Hopefully they'll see the humor in that.
Yeah, they probably will.
Hopefully, yeah.
Well, there are some other tools I forgot to mention. There's level editors. Basically, let you, you know, edit the background, and, you know, there's a lot of the level editors that are available are geared towards individual games. Like,
yeah.
There's a Mario Brothers level editors. There's a Zelda Link to the Past editor, which is actually really good. I think that lets you edit sprites and music. It's all in one program.
Otherwise, you need like a tile editor or something like that.
Yeah, most of them that are that go in depth that are. People made really good applications for are usually RPGs. There's a lot of them for Earthbound. You can pretty much change anything you want Earthbound. There's a lot for Chrono Trigger. And I've seen a lot of hacks of that. I actually saw a Porno Trigger once. I think I had the ROM of that. Pretty much that's just a lot of the text was, a lot of dialogue was edited in to have a lot of sexual stuff in it. I thought it was kind of funny, but, you know, it's like you said, it's cliche. And when you get some of those tools, you just, you know, get your ROM, open it up in there, and edit it, and save it, and play it in your emulator. And or just make it available for other people. You can send it to iMockery and have them post a review. That way we can look at it and laugh, because they definitely just rip those games apart. They look like they play them from start to finish, looking for any flaw, too.
Pretty much.
There's some funny ones on there. Like the Teenage Mammal Nice Chipmunks 2. I read that and I just started laughing my ass off.
Probably my personal favorite would be the Donkey Kong Country with the Pink Floyd hack, where you're basically fighting a gigantic image of Goat Seth. It just hammers at you.
What's with that Goat Seth image? It's everywhere. Or Goat.cx, or it's supposed to Goat Sex, I think. It's everywhere.
I haven't seen it. It's www.goat, G-O-A-T, SE.CX.
I wouldn't recommend actually going there, though.
Yeah, there's a pretty much NC-17 picture, like, right there, and it's yeah.
Yeah. One time I got into the elevator in my building, and the doors... Actually, I was getting ready to get into the elevator, and as the doors opened, somebody had printed off a giant image of that and posted it in the back of the elevator, so the elevator doors opened just for me to see, you know, bam, there it is.
Wasn't like a collage of like four different like printed pages all put together.
Yeah, it's just 8x11 sheets of paper all like, you know, tiled together to form the big image. So it was quite the waste of ink, but, you know, when your mom and dad are paying for your ink cartridges at college, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
I wish mine would pay for my ink cartridges. I could think of some signs I'd like to post around the building. Another funny thing on the iMockery site that they have that kind of pokes fun at most of the ROM hacks that people do is that they posted the 10 commandments of ROM hacking on there. And I'm going to go through those really quick. Number one was, thou shall not bother looking further than Super Mario Brothers 1. It's kind of funny because, yeah, I bet probably 90% of the ROM hacks out there are from Super Mario Brothers 1. It's just one of the easiest ones to hack. There's a lot of tools out there for it. I mean, there's even a lot of them that are older for, you know, they're for DOS. So they've been out there for a while. Number two is, thou shall not lose interest when thou get to the star man in the middle of level 1. Thou shall still upload the file to the net. So, you know, basically when the game sucks and you lose interest when you get to the first star, Mario 1, just go ahead and upload it to the internet and show it off. Number three was, thou shall not write bloody, or no, it's thou shall not write blood, fuck, or sperm in the clouds, spawning the new words blood, 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 fuck, 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 or spur, 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 sperm. When the clouds line up beside each other. Yeah, it's kind of funny because you have the original sprite or whatever for the clouds. And actually, they put three of them together to form the whole cloud, so when people are doing the ROM hack, they don't realize that the clouds actually overlap or meet up, so also words meet up. Number four was, thou shalt alter the alphabet sprite so Mario's name is replaced with fucker and levels replaced with shit, rendering the rest of the game's text unreadable. Yeah, that's kind of funny.
That was going to do a tile hack for text instead of an actual hexadecimal hack.
Number five is, thou shall make it impossible to understand what anything is supposed to look like. And they have a picture of that on there where, man, you can't tell if someone's fighting on land or in the water, or if they're fighting Goombas or trees, or if the coins are actually coins, or if they're explosions or what. The only thing you can pick out is some of the blocks. Number six is, thou shall not alter the turn sprite. I noticed that a lot of the NES or the Mario Brothers ROM hacks that people, you know, they'll change Mario, but they'll forget to do the one where, you know, he's turning.
Yeah.
Like if you're doing a running dash and you stop and, you know, start going the other way, he does a little, you know, turning animation real quick. I think it's probably like one frame, but people usually forget to edit that.
So basically this big penis running around, all of a sudden he stops and he's the other way. Oh, it's Mario.
Number seven is, thou shalt not write stuff in sprites, so when they're reversed, they make no sense. That's another thing, a lot of the sprites in the game, for some reason, when you're using a sprite editor, you're actually looking at the reverse of it. So when you actually play the real game, that, you know, it's reversed. So they have a picture of a sprite on there that has words written on it that you can't even read. Never mind it's in reverse, you just can't read it because it sucks. Number eight, thou shall not promote the OS of your choice whenever thou hast the chance. Every man loves devotion. Or everyone loves a man of devotion. Sorry, can't read very well. And this shows a pipe from Mario 1, and it says Mac OS on it. And we'll see, I'm on number nine now, I think. Number nine is, thou shalt include swastikas, pentagrams, and cannabis leaves, and the number 69 in the tile work. It shows a tile on there that has a pentagram on it. And number 10 is, thou shalt give Mario a fro, a joint, and a penis capable of smiting Ron Jeremy. And it has a sprite of a picture of a sprite of Mario where he has a fro and a cigarette or a joint or whatever. And it looks like his penis is actually lighting the cigarette. It's so far up. That's pretty funny. I just noticed that today, so you have to go check it out for yourself and look at the sprites on there, because the pictures go along with it and makes it even funnier.
Beautiful, yeah.
So what do you say, should we go into our I guess we have our game review. I guess it's not so much of a game this episode. I mean, not so much of a review this episode. It's quite the game, but not really a review of it. More of a looking back at it as, you know, as far as it was, you know, it's innovative. And I'll let you go ahead and start that.
Well, the game itself, or the series, as it were, the Sonic the Hedgehog series for Sega Genesis and eventually Sega CD and Dreamcast and what have you. There might have even been a 32X in there, I'm not sure.
There was a Game Gear.
Game Gear, yeah, that's right. Well, basically, all the really good ones, all the good Sonics are available now on the GameCube on it's like a 7-in-1 disc. I think about like four of the games are actually pretty worth, you know, playing. And there's several unlockable features in there. There's, you know, comic books and commercials and all sorts of weird junk. I haven't really looked in that much, but...
Which all Sonics are on that disc?
Sonic 1, 2, 3, Sonic & Knuckles, Sonic Spinball, the Sonic 3D Blast, whatever the hell that's supposed to be, and then the Mean Bean Machine. I have no idea what that is. And I don't want to. But, like I said, the four real, you know, the classic Sonic 1, 2, and 3, and then Sonic & Knuckles, which kind of serves as, like, part 2 of Sonic 3, I think. And then, of course, with that comes the whole lock-on technology back in 94, where you could, like, lock, like, Sonic 2 or Sonic 3 onto the Sonic & Knuckles cartridge and play as Knuckles in either of those two previous games. And that's available with the GameCube version, but in order to unlock that feature, you have to, I believe, open up, I forget which one it is, you have to open up one of the, there's a whole menu of games, basically. Every time you select one to play, it kind of goes through this, you know, don't touch anything, blah, 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 is recording on the disc. And it basically records how many times you open up each game. I think once you get to 50 in every game, one of the extras notified or signified by question marks on the menu, one of those opens up and you get to play as, you know, Knuckles back in Sonic 2 or Sonic 3. You still can't play as Knuckles in Sonic 1, though, which kind of disappointed me. But there's the debug code and all that's readily available on the internet, so you can do basically all you want to do with those. Create your own levels, whatever. But, the thing with Sonic that I really want to get into is just back in 91, and I might get into the whole Nintendo versus Sega thing, because that's been done to death, and that's pretty boring now, because Sega's now a Nintendo game developer, so it's kind of a moot, you know.
They develop games for all the consoles, I think.
Yeah.
But it's kind of funny how they, you know, they have a lot of games that are kind of more directed towards younger gamers or people who grew up in gaming. You know, that's why they're probably releasing the Sonic series for GameCube and not really, you know, the Xbox or PS2. That's why I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Actually, before you go into it, that I was thinking Sega Dreamcast actually had a disc that you can get for it called the Sega Smash Pack.
Oh, yeah?
And it was a disc for the Dreamcast that had some classic Genesis games on it. I think it had, you know, Sonic 1 and, you know, Vector Man, or as you called it at the time, you called it Rector Man. And it had a lot of games on it. And I remember one of the major groups on the internet that was releasing the Dreamcast games to the public for download they realized that the Sega Smash Pack disc was actually an emulator that emulated Genesis games, because they looked at the contents of the disc and it'd have the files for each game. People would drag those files, try to open those files for each game into, like, you know, a Genesis emulator on the PC, and it worked. So they thought, okay, what if we take other games that for Genesis and then, you know, put them on a disc and put it in the Dreamcast? And anyway, they found that they can play, you know, any Genesis game really on the Dreamcast using the Sega Smash Pack. And I actually have a disc with it's actually modified, so it doesn't use the Sega Smash Pack menu. It has its own menu system, but anyway, it's just pretty much, it's an illegal Genesis emulator for the Dreamcast, just because it's using Sega's code, and it's, you know, not doing it by, you know, authorization or whatever. But anyway, it works pretty cool. I'm wondering if maybe they did that for the GameCube, or really on the GameCube disc, it's actually a Genesis emulator that's emulating these games. I'd be willing to bet it is. I doubt they'd really... I'm guessing it'd probably be harder to convert or port a Genesis game to the GameCube than it would be to just write an emulator for it. So I'm guessing it's probably an emulator. Sorry to interrupt you there. I just thought about that. Anyway, you can go on with what you were saying.
I wouldn't say much of anything that I recall, but anyway, the thing with Sonic that I really noticed at first when I played in 91 was that prior to that, most video games, not all, but, you know, most of them were kind of like every level is going to be, you know, we're talking 2D platforms here, it's going to be like one really, really, really long rectangle. Maybe we'll have, like, you know, a slight rise here or a drop there, but you know, we're going to go with the big long rectangle thing. And Sonic levels were more like, you know, here's a huge square. You know, it, I mean, it was not quite as much up and down as was left and right. It was still pretty much left and right, but there was a lot more up and down action to it. And, you know, Sonic, depending upon, you know, which course you took in the early level, you know, there, you wind up in the same spot later on, but you take a different route getting there. There was, like, you know, more than one way to, you know, go through a level. And, you know, there's different, you know, levels within levels, so to speak. And it was kind of reestablish the whole, you know, big square concept as opposed to the long rectangle level. And once that, you know, getting out of Sonic 1, that really, starts seeing that a whole lot more after that.
Yeah. Now that I think about it, yeah, the Genesis came out before the Super Nintendo did. And I think, yeah, the Sonic 1 was actually released before Super Nintendo came out. So that was, you know, probably was one of the first games that used the big, you know, the square level instead of, you know, a large rectangle. You know, I can remember back, you know, old edition or old issues of Nintendo Power where they'd map out the levels and just be this, you know, big long rectangle that'd show you all the obstacles.
Yeah, it'd be like the little letter A on the very right side of the page, and you go back to the left side, and there's another letter A.
Yeah, they would.
It'd be like several, you know, rectangles on top of rectangles.
Yeah, they just wrap it around the page.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that, but, that was kind of innovative on you to bring it up, how they did that. I was amazed when I first played Sonic 2 and got to, I think what's it called, Casino Night. I haven't played it for a while. Is it called Casino Night?
I think so,
the casino level. Yeah,
it's
that was...
It's the fourth world, I think.
I thought that was pretty cool, like you were, you know, in a pinball, you know, type environment.
Yeah. With, you know, I think Sega took that a little bit too far with all the Sonic's pinball part.
Yeah. I don't think I ever played any of those, though.
No. It's almost when I play Sonic pinball when it's within a regular Sonic game.
Yeah.
Most of it's just pinball anyway, but funny boy, there's a hedgehog. That was the wall.
Yeah, that game was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's a really good soundtrack too.
How much was that Sonic disc for the GameCube?
Oh, Sonic disc for GameCube, I think it's probably about $40 or $50 depending on where you go.
Hmm. Kinda seems like a little bit too much to pay for just a like, you know, sixteen bit game.
Yeah, the four really good games. I figure it's like, you know, $10 per game. That's worth it, I think. Just because, you know, it's for nostalgia's sake alone. It was like, that was really, you know, took back like 93, 94. I mean, that's like 10 years ago. These games were really, you know, popular.
So are you just jumping around all the games on it, or are you playing like, you know, Sonic 1 to the end and then playing?
I forced myself to kind of dole it out throughout the summer. I played Sonic 1 for about 2 weeks, and I let myself go into Sonic 2 and make sure I got through all that, and kind of make sure, I let myself, you know, breeze through it, you know, the first time through, just kind of, you know, immerse myself, and, you know, just kind of go all out. Then I kind of, okay, I'll have to go through it again and kind of, you know, be more responsible with time and take some different routes and do what I'm not used to doing, see if there's anything new here. But yeah, I kind of did it that way. It's all around a really good, it's a good game, it's a good series. It's kind of interesting to see, you know, when you get them back-to-back, you play it back-to-back, it's kind of interesting to see how Sonic develops and how the terrain really changes. So the games do change from, you know, sequel to sequel. I mean, Sonic, the actual Sonic character gets a little bit smaller from Sonic 1 to 2. It gets a little bit more defined, I think, when you go to, like, 3 and Knuckles. But it's a good evolution.
Yeah, that's probably one of my favorite Genesis games of all time. I don't think I played really any... I don't really play anything else on the Genesis except for Sonic. You know, played a couple other games, but
there was a Donald Duck game that came out, was pretty good, like Quackshot or something like that.
Yeah, I don't want to seem biased to Nintendo products, but I mean, at the time, if I noticed if there was a game that came out for, I'm starting the Nintendo Sega debate thing again, but if there was a game that came out for the Genesis and it came out for Super Nintendo, usually it was better for Super Nintendo, with the exception of Mortal Kombat 1. Mortal Kombat 1 is better on the Genesis just because it wasn't edited. I think it's just because I like the music on the SNES more, and I think SNES had more colors to work with.
Yeah, and then plus it was true 16-bit.
Genesis wasn't true 16-bit?
I think it was two 8-bit processors put together.
Oh, really?
I think so, yeah.
I don't think so. I think I remember reading things that said that the Genesis actually it's actually a little bit faster and more powerful than Super Nintendo Wiz, but it just had downfalls in various areas. And I think the Genesis had a different type of sound processing system, whereas the Super Nintendo used some sort of, I think it's SPC processor or something like that, where it was more like, if you remember back to the old like Amiga, like mod file days, where basically had a bunch of WAV files that would be played at different speeds or whatever to form music.
Yeah.
You know, had different channels and stuff. I think that's kind of how the Super Nintendo music is processed. Whereas I think Genesis was more MIDI-like. Well, this is kind of a shorter episode compared to the last one, I think. Might be right around there. So, actually, let's go ahead and kind of leave them with what they can look forward to for Episode 3. Episode 3, we decided, is going to be the 2D fighting episode. And we're going to go into some old 2D fighting games and review some. Probably more, you know, the Mortal Kombat, Street Fighter 2 type games, not so much the side-scrolling fighting games like, you know, the Final Fight and all the Turtles games and pretty much almost all the Konami games at the other time.
Konami code.
Yeah. I don't think anybody will ever forget that Konami code.
That's like embedded into all of our digits, I swear. I remember people in second grade talking about that in music class.
I remember just seeing various things, you know, and how it would remind you of the Konami code.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's our generation will never forget that. Speak of the Konami code generation. Before we go, you definitely need to give the answer to the trivia question.
Yeah. And everyone's got to promise not to throw things at me, because this one is almost comical in its truthfulness. But it is true. It is has been researched. I don't have the exact issue with me, but I do know that both GamePro and I think Nintendo Power have come out with this. The answer to the trivia question once again was, what is Mario's last name? And the answer to that question is Mario.
Oh,
his
yeah.
last name and his first name are the same. When you think about it, you know, you think Super Mario Brothers. Well, that's...
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you wouldn't call it, you know, like the Lee brothers, you know, Mr. and Mr., well, the two Lee guys in Double Dragon 2. You know, they're both named, their last name is Lee, and they're the Lee brothers, therefore Mario Brothers. And it actually said, you know, the full names of Nintendo's, you know, two, you know, Italian plumbers are Mario Mario and Luigi Mario. Maybe it's pronounced differently, like Mario Mario or Mario Mario, I don't know, but it's, Mario's last name is Mario. So, there's that for you.
I wonder if that's just something that they just kind of overlooked and they just,
you know,
so. Figure out that's the only solution for it, so.
Pretty much, yeah, kind of box themselves in there.
Okay, well, that wraps up this episode of Low on This Radio. If you want to email us any suggestions or comments, especially if we said anything that was wrong, you can correct us by emailing us at blowonthisradio@yahoo.com. And again, there's going to be a Blow on This Radio website coming up at botr.ramapro.com. And that's also where you can download each episode. The outro music for today's show is going to be by The Rabbit Joint, and the song is called Link, He Go to Town, and it was a song that I found on mp3.com back in 1999. I think it was in May.
Yeah, and before I graduated, if I recall.
Yeah, I think the day I graduated, we found that, and we were listening to it. It's pretty funny. It reminds me of graduation day.
That's great.
But yeah, I still had it around, and I figured it'd be a good outro music for the show. So that pretty much wraps it up. Now it's time to go get some fried rice and some RC. Do you think so?
No doubt about it.
Until next time, I'm DJ Mosk.
And I am R. Ecstasy.
Have a good one.
Link, hey, come to town. Come to save the Princess Zelda. Gone and took her away. Now the children don't play, but they will when Link sees the dead. Hallelujah! Now Link, fill up your heart. Save the day.